So this morning, Gopinath and his cowherd boyfriends are going to have a spring festival of Holi. So this is a pastime that's described in various places. Kavi Kanpur describes how during these early spring days, when the season has changed and the birds are chirping in the trees and the flowers, of course in Vrindavan all the seasons can come simultaneously. So it's not as if, just like for ourselves, we think the winter's so long and now the spring has come. But for the pleasure of Krishna, at the beginning of spring, this holy festival takes place. And all the girls, all the gopis, they come together in their various groups and they collect what they call powder bombs, flower with vermilion, and very, very, do you know what they would look like? They have like...
something like shellac.
Yes, just like shellac, and inside is all powder, and so you just, if you drop it, it would just spread powder like a bomb. And so they have these, and they keep them in their, they get their sashes and so forth, and they keep these. And then they have what's called a pitch curry, which is a like a squirter, like a syringe, but with beautiful jewels, gold, with jewels inlaid on these. And they have with them also some powder and coloured water. And the coloured water includes sandalwood. They put all sorts of rose water, aguru, all sorts of fragrances in the water. So everything is very, very charming. And they come out to fight and play. So Krishna and his friends, his boyfriends, but only those who are his intimate, very intimate boyfriends take part in this festival amongst the gopis. They also play amongst themselves. The gopis play with each other and squirt and play, and the boys likewise. But when Krishna is coming on this particular occasion, he's coming with the help of his very valiant and heroic friend named Batu. Batu is another name for Madhu Mangal. And Batu is a big talker. He's very funny. There's one very funny one funny pastime that takes place just before the holy festival, where Batu is roaming in the streets of Braj, here and there going, and all the elderly gopi ladies come out and they call him and say, "Oh Batu, please come, come. You're so learned in the Shastra and you know all about astrology and you know everything about the Vedic knowledge. And we have a question to ask you in private. We want to ask you a question." And Batu says, "Yes, yes, I know all of everything that can be known, I know. So whatever question you have, if you bring me some fruits, something nice to eat, then I will sit down and I'll answer your question." So the ladies come, the elderly ladies, and they say, "We ourselves don't have any problems. Our household is very nice. We're very happy. Everything is by the grace of Lord Narayan. Everything is very nice. We only have one problem. And this problem pains our heart so much that day and night we feel this piercing pain. So this we want to ask you about." So Batu says, "Yes, anything. I know so many things, so many branches of knowledge. I can certainly satisfy you. What do you want?" So then they say, look around, see that nobody is there, and then they tell him, "Batu, there's one problem in our household, something that we cannot understand, because it should never happen. But here we have these beautiful daughter-in-laws that have come into our homes, and we love them and we take care of them like our own daughters, but they have no affection whatsoever for their husbands. They never even look at their husbands. They never even talk to their husbands. And this gives us so much pain, because here our sons are here and they're so good, but the daughter-in-law doesn't want to cook for them, doesn't want to do anything for them. This is such a terrible thing. What can we do about this?" And so Batu thinks for a few moments and he says, "Yes, I know the answer to this problem." He says, "If you all listen to me and you trust my words, you absolutely trust whatever I tell you, then I can solve this problem for you all." So they all say, "Oh yes, Batu, we'd do anything if you could tell us what we should do about this problem that we have." And then Batu thinks and he says, "Well, the main reason why your daughter-in-laws are not friendly with your sons is because your sons are very ugly and unpleasant. And they're very unlikable. They're extremely unlikable. And for this reason, of course, these beautiful young girls, they're not interested in your sons or your family. So the old lady's a little shocked at this. And then Bhatta goes on to explain in his own clever way, using all kinds of tricks of speech, that there's one thing that you can do. There is a demigoddess who's against you all, against your family, against your sons, because your sons are so unattractive and unlikable. And if you want to reverse this situation, you have to please this demigod. And there's also a demigoddess. There's a demigoddess and a demigod. So the first thing is that you have to make sure that you let your daughters go to the forest every morning and every night to worship this Kandarpa Devata. And you shouldn't stop them. You should give them all the paraphernalia of worship. You should send them to the forest and you should say, go twice a day, go to the forest and worship. And you go from one forest to the other, to the other, to the other, searching out this demigod who will solve all your problems if you do this. And then he starts telling them all these mantras they have to chant, and when they go out, and that they should teach these mantras to their daughters, and they should keep this completely secret, because if anyone knows, it would be such a shame to their family that their sons are so unattractive, and so on and so forth. So he sends. What he does is he teaches them all these mantras. The old ladies, and the old ladies come home, and they start telling their daughter-in-laws, "We want you to go out to the forest, to the kunjas, and go roaming from kunj to kunj, looking for this Kandarpa, which is another name for Cupid, this demigod who's out there in the forest. He's bluish, he's very beautiful, and you should say these mantras when you meet him, and you should do this for the benefit of your husbands." And the gopis can't believe their ears. They're absolutely astonished, and they can't imagine what's going on. And when they hear the mantras are all very amorous, and they're all directed towards their meeting with Krishna. And they think, wow, mothers-in-law have gone mad. Why are they telling us to do this? And Bhatta's so clever, and he's saying, and so then what happens is the mother-in-laws teach them the mantras secretly and say, "Now you go out you go," and they go to the forest. They can't believe it. Freely they can meet with Krishna, here, there, anywhere that they want. And they're so happy. But then the unmarried gopis, those who didn't have any mothers-in-law to complain about them, they feel so bad. Because they see, look, these girls get to go out all morning and all evening. They dance with Krishna. They do so many things. And we have to stay home in our houses with our mothers. And so the Vrindadevi makes an arrangement. And she tells the mothers that also this is very important for your girls to also go. So they'll get good husbands. And this is important. You should send them as well. So then all the gopis get this opportunity to go out and meet with Krishna. So this is Bhatta at his best, where he goes around and he makes all kinds of arrangements by the use of his clever tongue. But he has another side, and that is that he's quite cowardly. And when things get difficult for him, he has a tendency to change sides. He's sort of known for this. So the gopis also know this about him. He's very talkative by nature, and he's a bit cowardly. So Bhatta and his friends are going out for the day for Holi festival, all the boys. And they hear, whilst they're preparing for their holy festival, they hear the echoing sound of the young gopis who are also singing and laughing. And Bhatta says, "What is this? This sounds like an echo of our festival. Surely it can't be anything other than that." So Krishna says, "Maybe we should check and see what is taking place over there in that area over there. You go there, Bhatta, you go and check, find out what's happening." And he says, "Certainly." So he marches off to see what's happening. And of course, when he arrives there, he finds the gopis are there, Lalita's there. And she's very hard for Bhatta to deal with because she's very outspoken. And so they're picking the Madhavi flowers and they're preparing for this beautiful festival. So Bhatta comes and he says, "What are you doing? You're picking these flowers. Who gave you permission to pick these flowers? These flowers belong to my friend, and we will need these flowers for our festival today, so you should stop picking the flowers." And the girls all look at Bhatta, and he's alone, and he's in trouble. And so they all start teasing him, and then they start pouring dye on him, and they cover him with powder, and they put purple powder and green powder and red powder on Bhatta, and then they pour water on top of that until all the dye is all run, and he looks like a ghost. He looks like a follower of Lord Shiva. He's all completely covered in all these different colors and dye, and he's so horrified and mortified, and he sees his position. So he goes running back to Krishna looking like this, and he goes, look, look what they've done to me, those cruel-hearted girls. They've ruined my reputation. Let's go. They're so dangerous. We shouldn't stay here any longer. They're so dangerous. They're very violent. And all the other boys say, Batu, come on. We can easily defeat them. So then they get Batu behind them and off they go. And so then Krishna and the cowherd boys, they arrive where the girls are. And with their vermilion flat powder dyes, they start to throw these at each other, and then it goes all over their bodies, and they also start squirting the powdered, coloured water. And in this way they enjoy so much. And at one particular point, Srimati Radharani gets very brave, and she takes one of these vermilion powder bombs and she aims it at Krishna, and she throws it at him and hits him right on the chest. And then he looks around to see who did that. And so she runs and hides amongst the girls. So then Krishna is looking this way and that way, and she hides behind Shamasaki, and Shamasaki is coming, and Krishna comes and he sees her, and so he starts throwing powder at her. And then one of the other girls says, why are you throwing it at her? It wasn't her, it was... And Krishna gets the hint, so he goes running, and he goes running one way, and she goes running, and they hint at each other, and in this way they play and run around, and they enjoy so much in this way. So then after some time, Krishna becomes tired. So he pretends to rest. He's not really tired. But now the battle has finished, so he lies down to rest. So Srimati Radharani and the gopis think, just as Maharaj was saying, now is our perfect opportunity. He's sleeping. Let us take his flute, because his vamsi gives us so much trouble. It's always drawing us out of our homes. We try to concentrate on our duties at home, and he plays that flute and it calls us to the forest, and it's always disturbing our minds. So let's steal his flute. So they come up, and one of them very quietly steals the flute, and another one steals his pichkari, and they're taking, and then one gopi goes to take off his ornaments because he's asleep, but Srimati Radharani says, no, don't take, because she doesn't want him to be embarrassed by his defeat when he wakes up. And Batu, in the meantime, he's watching all of this, and then he orders the gopis to come, or they come with some fruits and things to give Krishna. And then Batu starts getting really proud, and he says, just see, we had this big battle and we won. Look, see, they're serving like maid servants here because you won. My friend is so strong and powerful. No one can defeat him. And in this way, he talks so many funny things. And all the gopis and all the gopikas, they all laugh. The gopas and the boys and girls, they all laugh because they all enjoy Batu's stirring and his what he adds to all of their festivals and play. So then they all sit and they have some nice prasad. Srimati Radharani feeds Krishna. And then they wander off to another forest, and the gopis to another forest as well. And in this way, and in so many other ways, they enjoy this spring festival. So in Krishna's presence, in the transcendental Goloka Vrindavan atmosphere, these pastimes go on and on and on, but they're ever, ever fresh. We would think, I know when I was young, my mother told me, gave me some conception of heaven and hell, and you go to heaven if you do all of these things right, you go to heaven. And when trying to get a concept of what it was like there, it sounded immensely boring, because it was very limited what she could present as an idea of where I was supposed to go, and I was supposed to go there forever and ever and ever and ever, and it sounded awful actually, and there was no way she could present it in a way that it could compare with the variegated experiences of day-by-day life here. But actually, this is like a shadow of there, and all these pastimes go on, but in perfection. And perfection means there's no base motivation behind. When Krishna is enjoying the pleasure of Srimati Radharani's company, and Radharani is enjoying the pleasure of Krishna's company, they're both enjoying the sensation of pleasing each other. Whereas now, here in this world, everyone is enjoying the pleasure of their own senses. So Krishna Das Kaviraj gives the definition that this is lust and this is prem. When everything is done for the senses of another person, it's prem. When it's done for ourself, it becomes lust. But this is transcendental lust. That means it is prem, but it has reached to such a height that the gopis are playing and laughing with Krishna without even any regard for social convention. This is so inconceivable that throughout India at various times, especially when the Christians came, they took this and showed this as an example of something absolutely disgraceful in the Hindu culture, that you have these debauched ideas of God, that he can do this and this and enjoy with other men's wives. And I remember reading one time how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when somebody came to Mathura, and was a Christian and was challenging the pundits there that this is something immoral, and they could not refute his Christian ideology with the proper conception of Krishna's supreme position. He went so far as to say these people who are living there, they are all neophytes because they cannot actually present properly and appropriately the transcendental nature of Krishna's wonderful position and pastimes. So we're fortunate because we're here in this atmosphere and we can see and think and hear and chant together, and we can meditate for some time on these transcendental activities before returning, many of us, to a Western atmosphere where you'll be able to contrast Krishna's lila with what you see going on all around you. So we should hear deeply and try to take something with us so that we can hold on to it when we see what is the opposite, which is what most people consider to be the topmost thing that's available for them. So I'll thank you. Stop here so that we can continue with the program today. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Shri Gopinath ki. Shri Radha Govinda ki. Go Premanandi.